Now we're going to look at the first reading. This is part 2, Sirach 15, 15 to 20. This will introduce us a bit into an understanding of law. You see, this text, it's a two-ways text. You know, you can go this way or that way. But it's based on the law. And it's a good time to reflect on what is the law of God. Text goes, if you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. He might not know the work of the Holy Spirit, otherwise we couldn't keep the commandments. But maybe he does. If you trust in God, you shall live. He has set before you fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given him. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man's every deed. No one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. I remember somebody came to me once and they wanted, maybe I've mentioned this before, it was so far out. He said to me, I need help in discerning whether I should divorce my wife. I said, that discernment's been made for you. You don't have to ponder that one. You can't divorce your wife. That's the end of that. Now, both of you go get counseling, go to a marriage encounter, pray, and get somebody to help you. And the Lord and the power of that marriage, because he's the third party to it, will, you know, and it works. But you know, there's a couple in New Orleans, they were divorced 3 times and got back together. And finally, they made it. And so they helped the marriage encounter or whatever down there to say, look, don't worry about it. We got divorced 3 times before we made it. All right. You see, he has set before you fire and water. This is the awful responsibility of every human being. We are before two ways, and we have to choose. Which way are you going to follow? We have this beautiful text. It's Psalm 1, which is the introduction to the whole Psalter. It starts off, blessed is the man, you see, who doesn't walk according to the way of the wicked, you see, who doesn't listen to the way of the wicked, doesn't walk in the way of sinners, or sit in the chair of the mocker. So you see, you stand, you walk, you sit. By the time you sit in the chair of the mockers, you've had it. Always a chance for repentance. But when you get there, you see, not so the just man, not so. You see, he delights in the law of the law, and it says he meditates. He finds his delight in the Torah, Adonai, and he meditates on his law, day and night. Meditate, higdut is the word, in the meditation word, means to murmur. It's murmur like a dove. To think over, to repeat to yourself, to be aware of God's law. Well, God's law is not just the Torah. It's not just a series of commandments. It recounts all the work that God did to bring people from Abraham to occupation of the land that he promised to Abraham. In other words, God's deeds, including the Exodus. So to murmur the law day and night and to find delight in that means that you're in sync with the Holy Spirit. And reading the law of the Lord, which is now expressed, as you know, You heard it said, and I say, which you know is the gospel today, meditate on what Jesus said. Law, St. Thomas points out, all law is meant to regulate exterior observance so that people can live together. It's an ordination of reason made by the one who has care for the community and promulgated. That's the definition of law. So this ordination of reason is not just reason. It's open to fulfillment. It's the law of God in the Old Testament. I want to read you a couple of shocking texts from Aquinas. The Holy Fathers made use of the legal sacraments not as realities, but as image and shadows of what was to come. And he quotes this text from Aristotle twice here. Now it is the same, this is Aristotle, it is the same motion to an image as to the reality, as the philosopher says in Memory and Recall. Hence, the ancient fathers, by observing the legal sacraments, were born, carried, B-O-R-N-E, born to Christ. By the same faith and love, whereby we are also born to him. And hence, the ancient fathers belong to the same church as we. Do you see there the value, the preciousness of the Old Testament? You know, I don't like to berate it, but you know what a certain block in Germany did to the Old Testament? It's our book. They're our brothers. In fact, in some ways, they're our older brothers. Now, in the sacramental system, the sacrificial system, I should say. It should be said that the fathers did not stop at the sacraments of the law as mere things, but as images and shadows, which he's already said. He gets those words from Scripture too. For the movement toward an image, insofar as it is an image, is the same as the movement toward the reality. This is another text. This is not the text that I just quoted. That one I quoted is first is in the third part on the incarnation. This one is in the first part of the second part on law. For the movement toward an image insofar as it is an image is the same as the movement toward the reality, as the philosopher says in his work on Memory and Recall. Therefore, the ancient fathers, by observing the sacraments of the law, meaning the ceremonial part in this text, were brought toward Christ through the same faith and love by which we are brought toward him. Therefore, the ancient fathers belonged to the same body of the church to which we belong. That they weren't graced with seeing the fullness of the plan. Augustine says the same thing. I'm not going to take time to quote it. But I think it's very important. You see, when we see this doctrine of the two ways summed up here in Sirach, it applies to us. Blessed is the man, and now we have the Beatitude again, Asherei, right? Who doesn't walk according to the counsel of the evil, or stand in the way of the wicked, or sit in the chair of mockers, but meditates on the Torah day and night. It's always in his heart. But the Torah now is what? Well, it's already said what the new law is going to be in Jeremiah, as I printed out, 31:31, right? Behold, days are coming when I will make a new Torah, a new law with the house of Israel and the house of Jacob. Not like the law I made before when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. This is the law. I will write my law in their heart. In other words, we have now this interior principle given to every believer who's baptized. The Jews were moved by the Holy Spirit, But not this way. This is a new law. That's why we sing a new song. And so, you see, it's this new law. See, I will write it on their heart. And no one need tell his brother, know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. See, because I will have mercy on them, and I will remember their sins no more. The forgiveness of sin and the interior principle. That is the new law. The new law, as St. Thomas says, is the Holy Spirit. That's the new law. So it's a living prompting. He says, Abba, from the moment of baptism. And he moves us to fidelity. So you see, this text of Sirach is addressed to us. And it's a very good text, and it is easy to preach on, because folks, here it is. And don't tell me my mother dropped me on my head when I was 2 and that's why I act this way. You know, you have a free will, and set before you, every human being in this church this morning, is this choice, life or death. Now, to acquire life means then to turn to God, repent for your sin, and you are restored. Get to confession. The Lord gave us that sacrament so that we could, you know, I'm sure you all know, you can judge the fervor of a parish by the number of confessions. The parish I help out in, it's a wonderful parish, this confessions every morning before the 9 or 9:30 Mass, I forgot which it is. There's confessions Saturday, there's confessions anytime that he wants one. And these guys are really working hard. I help them out. And if I go over there for a 9 o'clock or 9:30 Mass, I've got to get there a half hour early to hear confessions. And there's a line. Why? Because they're weighed down and they're guilty and they're scrupulous? No. They love the Lord. And they see the darkness in their life. They want to get rid of it. And the Lord will help them do that. And so, you see, these two ways, if you choose, you could keep the commandments, they will save you. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given him. It's up to us to choose. Now, we can be, when we really think about this, and choosing evil means eternal damnation in hell, we get scared, which we should do. But then we just don't stay scared. You know, we run to the Father. I've only got a few seconds, but I want to tell you, somebody asked Therese, St. Therese, one day, what would you do if you committed a very grave sin? You know what she said? I'd run straight to the Father. Where else could I go? That's the two ways.